Now, if we could turn in our Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, we're going to read from verse 1 of the chapter, the book of Proverbs, chapter 22 today. And we're reading from verse 1 of the chapter. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favour rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honour and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old he will not depart from it. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips the king shall be his friend. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he overthroweth the words of the transgressor. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. The mouth of strange women is a deep pit. He that abhorreth of the Lord is abhorred of the Lord, shall fall therein. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. Bow down thine ear, and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. Rob not the poor because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoil them. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Be not thou one of them that strike hands, or of them that are sureties for debts. If thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Seest thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to our hearts. Just let's unite in a wee word of prayer. Our gracious and our loving God, we come at this juncture to thy throne of grace afresh. We thank thee for these pearls of wisdom that have been given to us in thy word. O God, we have been looking at some of them. We rejoice in the wisdom that we have learned. We thank thee for the direction that is given to us in thy word. Thou hast said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways we are to acknowledge thee, and then thou wilt direct our paths. So gracious God, we ask thee that thou wouldst come and direct our paths just now. Lord, just give us that insight, that wisdom that we need in the affairs of life, for it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. I'm looking at verse 6 particularly today. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old he will not depart from it. The wee boy one time approached his father and began to ask some of the questions that little ones are prone to ask. He said, Dad, he said, where does the wind come from? The father says, son, I don't know. He says, where do all the clouds, why are they all the shapes that they are? Well, he says, son, I'm not really sure. He says, where's the rain? Where's the rainbow come from? He says, I've no idea, son. The young fellow said to his father, he said, Dad, do you mind me asking all these questions? His father said, well, son, I don't mind at all. How else can you learn? You know, the education of children is always a subject that will bring controversy. And it is a subject that the Word of God does not shy away from. Every parent wants to raise their children up to be good and to be decent citizens and to be brought up in a fashion that fits them best for this life. And there are many who will scramble. You only have to see the scramble for the best schools. And there's a little bit of snobbery sometimes in that. But nevertheless, it's just right. It's something that we need to be concerned about, to have the best education that we can have for our children. Well, the Bible has a lot to say about the education of children, and the book of Proverbs in particular has something to say. And we need to point out, first of all, that the first responsibility for teaching the children is not with the schools or with the education system, but is with the parents, and particularly with the fathers. We think of the verse in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you notice that the father is particularly charged with the education of his children and the bringing up of the children. So when it comes to the day of judgment, it's not going to be the chief education officer or the school teacher who primarily will give an account, although they will give an account of themselves as well. But it's not there primarily that will give an account for the training and the bringing up of your children, but it will be you. It will be the parents. Now, we live in an age of rebellion. It's a day when young people are being taught that rebellion is a normal part of life. And the ordained parts of society, the government and religion are being attacked. And the old morality is being torn down. And anything that is Bible-based is being attacked and is being undermined in so many ways. And we think of so many people today, and they have children that are rebelling. It's a sad thing to see a child that rebels against its parents. I'm thinking of a woman who is known to me. I don't know her personally. But I think of a lady who's one of her children caught up in drugs and was pregnant in teenage, got a home of her own, still on drugs, and her daughter is plaguing the neighbours. This lady has gone to the social services, tried to do everything she can for the child, but there seems to be nothing she can do. She has to stand helplessly by and watch this daughter, and she seems to be intent on destroying herself. That's an awful picture. And the Bible has advice for us about our children. Particularly here in this portion of Scripture, it says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. There are a number of things then about the training of children here in this verse and in the book of Proverbs as a whole that I want you to see. And the first thing I want you to see is the people to be trained. It says, train up a child in the way that he should go. Now, that is something perhaps that's self-evident, something that is obvious to us, that we train the child. It's the child that is to be trained. But we need to emphasize it and underline it again, because there are those in this day and generation, in the modern philosophy, and in the political correct days in which we live, who say that we should leave the child until it is old enough to choose for itself. And a man like that, I think I've told you a few times, about a man who came from the foster people, you know, the social services, about fostering children. And way back many years ago, and there was somebody in my congregation at that time who wanted to foster children. And they felt that they were coming up against a brick wall, and they felt it was because they were Christians. And I wrote a letter asking if there was anything to it, and this man came from the social services. He said, I'm a Christian, but he says, I wouldn't tell my children that they need to be saved until they come to about 11 or 12 years of age. Well, if you leave them until they're 11 or 12 years of age, you're leaving them until it's too late, unless it's just the grace of God. There are many people who have never heard the gospel until after they're 11 or 12. We know that. But if you don't train your children, if you leave them until they're 11 or 12, they're out in the world, they're being influenced by the world, and in many instances, if you leave them in that state, they are not going to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They will do what their sinful heart directs them to do. That's what they will want to do. That is what they will choose. We need to train the child. And there are a number of reasons why we need to train the child. And the first thing is that experience tells us that it is best to start with the child when it is young. You know, you even get that in nature. If you were to get a tree or a bush and you wanted to get it into a certain shape, you wouldn't get an old tree, a tree that has already formed its branches and standing proud and tall. You'd get a little sapling, and you would prune it, and you would tie it in, and you would get it to grow into the shape that you want it to do. You can't take an old tree and get it into a specific shape. It's got to be trained from when it is young. And it's the same with the child. The Jesuit priests always used to say that if they had a child to the age of 7, they had it for life. And there's a great amount of truth in that. God wants us to train the children when they are young. We think of how he spoke to the men of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy, and he said, "You're to take the child and you're to teach it in the ways, and you're to bind it as frontlets between its eyes, and you are to train it up." And we think of Abram, who was commended of God because he taught his household, and he was able to train his household, and he kept his household following in the ways of God. So experience tells us that you have to start young. You have to start when the child is forming its opinions. Before it gets into the bad habits, you've got to start young. So experience tells us that we need to train the child. Then exposition tells us that we need to train the child. Because that word there that speaks of training, or a child in the verse of scripture there, speaks of a child from its infancy. It's a word that is used in the Bible that covers the child right from its infancy right up to its adolescence. But in many cases in the Bible, I want you to notice that it is used, that word, to describe a babe. That was the same word that is used in Proverbs 22 that was used of Moses when he was put in the ark of bulrushes. You think of Moses, the little babe who was put into the ark of bulrushes, and then his mother sent him out on the Nile in order to save his life. Now it's the same word that is used here as train up a child. It's a babe. So we start as young as we can. We start before maybe they can walk or talk. Many people will even start while the child is still in the womb. They will start to read, and they will start to bring it under the influence of the things of God, and they will bring it to the place where it will sit and listen to the word of God. They will train it at home. They will train it and send it to Sunday school when it comes to the age of going to Sunday school or children's meeting, whatever it is. But we notice that the exposition here would lead us to believe that it is a child from the youngest age. You know, we dare not leave the child until it goes to school. We have to train the child before that. You can teach it the little choruses, the simple little verses. And if you teach a child, even before it goes to school, the little choruses and the little verses, those things will stick with it. Those are the things it will remember throughout the rest of its life. So exposition would tell us that we start very young. And then example tells us that we should train the children. You think of the Lord Jesus, the greatest of all examples. And remember how when the women were going to bring the children to the Lord Jesus, and the disciples said, "No, don't be bothering the Master." And the Lord said, "Suffer little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God." And the Lord placed an importance on the little children. He said, "Of such is the kingdom
of God. These were little children in their mother's arms, but they were brought to the Lord that he might bless them. They were brought to the Lord, they were brought to Jesus' feet, so that they might have the blessing of Almighty God. So we start with the children. Example tells us that, exposition tells us that, experience tells us that we need to start as young as possible with the little children to train them in the things of God. So we notice the people to be trained is a child. Then look at the procedure for the training. It is the word train. Train of a child. Now the word train there means catechize the child or set a good example for the child. And it's a great question, of course, as to what way we train up our children. As a puzzle that's perplexed parents, you have books on it. You go to the bookshop and you get shelves that are covered with these books that tell you how to train the child. Well, the first thing we need to remember is that the verse speaks personally. It says, train up a child. Every child is different. Every child is an individual. What may work with one child may not work with another child. Sometimes you see children in one family and they have been brought up the same way and they have the same influences, they have the same parents, but they're so different because they have that different bent or that different way of looking at things. And sometimes people are at a loss and we need to be careful with our children. What may work with one, chastisement may work with one, it may not work with another. Enticement and encouragement may work with one, it may not work with another. You've got to look at your own child. You've got to, it says, train up a child in the way that he should go. So we've got to take it individually and we've got to watch our children and we have to train them up in the way that they should go. But having said that, I want you to see that there are certain principles that we can discern from the Word of God as to the way that we should bring up our children. And the first thing we need to do is direct the child. We are to direct the child and teach it what is right and what is wrong. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 1 says, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Proverbs 5 and 1 is similar admonition. It says, my son, attend unto wisdom, and bow thine ear to understanding. So what we need to do is teach them right, teach them wrong, teach them God's word, explain what you believe. Take time with the child. So many times we don't take the time to explain. We want them to understand and we want them to follow in the way, but we don't take time to understand why we do the things that we do or why we don't do the things that we do. Tell the younger ones the Bible stories. Get them familiar with the Word of God. Answer their questions as much as you can. But I want you to notice that the word here is not just teach, it is train. Now you can teach your children verses of Scripture, you can teach them the Bible stories, but the word here is not just teach, it is train. You know, you get the athlete, and the athlete has to learn what he is to do. He has to learn the techniques and so on and so forth. But he also trains. And that means that he might have to get up earlier in the morning in order to go through a weight regime or a training regime. It will mean, no doubt, that he has a special diet that he has to go on. And all aspects of his life, if he's serious about it, if he is a serious athlete, all aspects of his life are going to be affected by the fact that he wants to run the race, or throw harder, or throw stronger, or whatever kind of athletics he's involved in. He will have to train himself to an optimum peak. Now it is the same with us. You not only teach the child, but you train the child. That means all aspects of his life will have to be taken in. For example, if you teach your child not to swear, and then you sit in front of the television set where swearing and blasphemy is going on and it doesn't seem to say anything to you or make any difference to you, you're sending your child mixed signals. It doesn't know then whether it is right or whether it is wrong, because it is watching what you do, it is watching your reaction to what is happening, and it is getting mixed signals. We need an atmosphere in which to train our child. Now I ask, what is the atmosphere in your home? Is it an atmosphere in which God's word is taken down? Is it an atmosphere in which the authority of God's word is held up? Is it an atmosphere in which the things of God are treasured and in which God is worshipped and in which God is glorified? Is that the atmosphere of your home? You see, we certainly can't let television direct our children. And in so many places, that's what's happening. A public school survey was taken in Maryland in the United States, and it showed that parents, on average, only spend an average of 15 minutes a week in meaningful dialogue with their children. And really, what they were doing was leaving their children to glean what they had to learn from the television and from their peers. That shouldn't be. We train up the child. We direct the child. But not only should we direct the child, we should discipline the child. The word train there also has the meaning, and it within the meaning of the word is the thought of discipline. Now we live in a day in which it is politically incorrect, thought to be politically incorrect, to spank the child or to chastise the child physically. But that's not the message of the Bible. You look at what we read there in this chapter in verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now let me make it clear that neither I nor the Bible advocate brutality in any way. We shouldn't admonish or we shouldn't chastise when we are angry. We have spoken about angry and disciplining anger. We shouldn't do that. But it is amazing when you use the rod how little you do need to use it. Because if there is a place where the rod or whatever it is kept and you go towards that place, it is amazing how calming an effect that can have on the child when that takes place. There's an immediate settling effect when you go to use that. And really, it is, in many ways, it is less cruel. It is less cruel. Now, I've seen recently children that are chastised. You know, have things like the naughty step and so on, or being locked out of the room. Now, the child that I saw that happening to was out there for about 15, 20 minutes. And you have to keep them out there for 15, 20 minutes at least, or until they apologise, and the punishment goes on and on. But a sharp smack teaches the child, and that's it. And it is perhaps far less cruel to give them that sharp reminder than to have a discipline that goes on and on and on. But we are to discipline the child. There are many unruly children today, and you know, you can see them sometimes in the supermarkets. And wee Johnny or wee Mary is running about absolutely wild, and the parent is looking at you, oh, what could you do with them? Well, you could suggest a few things, but you daren't say what they should do with them. We are to discipline the child. And then we are to display an example to the child. As we indicated before, there's no point in trying to tell the child what to do if you don't do it as well. You try to tell the child it's good to go to church and to worship God. If you don't do the same thing yourself, there has to be that example that goes along with it. And you're to love them, show them by your example, your love, and what is good and what is right. And if there's not an example in the home, then the child will learn by the example. So there's a procedure for training. We said that every child is different. Every child has to be treated individually and so on. But there is a procedure here. We are to direct the child, show it what's right and wrong. We are to discipline the child, and we're to display an example to the child. But then I want you to see something else here. Not only are we the person to be trained and the procedure for the training, but look at the purpose of the training. It says, train up a child in the way that he should go. There's an end. There's a purpose. And that is to get the child into the way that he should go. There is a way for your child. There's a way for each one of us. And if your child is not saved, then the first thing you do is pray, Lord, save my child. Save my child. And that is the first way that he should go, in the ways of righteousness and in the ways of God. But what is the way that he should go? Now, there are all sorts of opinions again in this day as to the rights and wrongs of where we should direct our children. There are all sorts of messages that are being given out in schools and different places about the environment and about racism and about respect for one another. And many of those messages are good examples. Some are good and some are bad messages. But we cannot say about any of those messages that they are the way that the child should go. You know, they might help the child in some little way, or there might be good messages for them to hear in some way or other, but they're not the way that the child should go. They don't encompass their whole life. Well, what is the way that they should go? Well, first of all, it is a way that leads them to Christ. You remember how the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No matter what your way your child goes, no matter what your child does, make sure that they're saved. Parents, make it the greatest possible priority in your life. No matter what they turn out to be or what they turn out to do, make it the greatest priority in your life to make sure that they're saved. Now that means that Sunday school will be a priority. That means that children's meeting will be a priority. That means that taking down the Bible will be a priority, and telling them the things of God. That will be a priority. It'll not be just an add-on. It'll be something at the very centre of what you do. You want to direct them to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the second thing, not only should we direct them as far as the purpose in life, but in their priorities in life, but we should direct them as far as their purpose in life is concerned, because as we said, God has a purpose for your child. There's a way that he should go or she should go. Now, it may not be the way that they want to go or the way that they now desire to go, but there is a way that they should go. Now, God has given your child and every one of us certain talents and certain abilities and certain gifts. That is our bent. In fact, the word in here, when we speak about having a bent, that is actually in the verse of scripture that we have taught here. Every one of us has a bent. That's the literal meaning of the way that he should go. Maybe one has a bent towards being a mechanic. Another has a bent towards the books or academics. Another has a bent towards being an electrician. I have a wee nephew and he's absolutely obsessed by electricity and wires and so on and so forth. It is probable that that's his bent. That's what he wants to do. That's what he is. That is the way that he should go. However, sometimes the way that your child should go will not be obvious. For example, I think of a little 10-year-old who was taken to his first voice lesson for singing. And his teacher was adamant, you can't sing. He says, your singing sounds like a wind in the shutters. But despite the discouragement, his mother heard greatness in his voice. And she was able to discern that there was greatness there, and so she rather than discourage him, kept him on going to the voice lessons. And the work paid off. His name was Enrique Caruso, the great operatic singer. He became one of the greatest voices that the world has ever heard. Now, it didn't seem obvious. It was hidden. Maybe your child's talent is hidden. Maybe it is raw. Maybe it's only in its infancy. But your child is a bent. And that mother was able to discern that better than the voice teacher. And who better than the mother, particularly probably, or the father, but more particularly the mother, to know what your child is capable of, what its strengths are, what its weaknesses are. You train the child in the way that it should go, towards its bent. Now, sometimes it'll have to be pushed. Sometimes it'll have to be encouraged. Sometimes it will have to be pushed along. But there is something, some talent, that should be used for the glory of God in your child. We think of the blessings that God has given to those that follow in His way. Thank God for the greatness that God has given to some. What potential there is in the little ones that God has given us. There's a career they should follow, but there's a course that they also should follow. It is conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever else is true of your child, make sure that it follows the Lord Jesus Christ. John Wesley said this, "I want the whole Christ for my Savior, the whole book for my book, the whole church for my fellowship, and the whole world for my mission field." That was his purpose in life. And what a great purpose that was. Let us serve the Lord with all our hearts and souls and minds and strength. So there is a purpose for training. Training up the child in the way that he or she should go. But then there's a pinnacle of the training. Because there's something of a promise at the end here. It says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Now that's a promise that has been perplexing to many people. Because we can all think of examples where it does not seem to work. There are people who have been brought up in godly homes and taught the things of God. And been taught along the same lines. And they have been given good examples. And yet they have gone away from God and they haven't served the Lord. In fact, when you look in the scriptures, you have examples of that very thing. You think of Samuel. Now Samuel is a man that we don't hear very much condemnation of any in the Word of God. But he had two sons who were anything but godly. We read about them in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel 8 and 3. And it says that they perverted judgment. They were not righteous. And there are some people who take the text to mean that if you train up a child in the way that he will go, and if you train him right when he's young, that when he is older, perhaps he'll go away from the things of God and he'll come back again. Well, again, I don't think that's what the verse means. And so many people are clinging on to that. Now, if you have a child like that, I'll give you a little bit of comfort and blessing and help and encouragement in a wee minute, but this is not the verse to cling on to if that's what you're hoping. What does the verse mean? Well, I think it's very simple what it means. I think it means that if you teach a child to walk in the ways of God, and if you teach a child right from wrong, and you get it until it's an adult, until it is old, and you continue to train it until it is old, when it reaches adulthood, when it reaches that age, it will continue in those things. It will not depart from them. It will keep on going. And what we need to do then is train the child right up to its adulthood. Now there are children who come and profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And children can be saved. And so many who have come to knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior have come young in life. But it is also easy for a child to make a false profession. And we're not to question the child or undermine the child. But what you need to do is watch the child. Watch the way that it's going. Keep on training it. Keep on telling it to trust in the Lord as its Savior. Keep on telling it to keep its faith and trust in the Lord. And train it on the way it shall go. And keep on working with it until it reaches that age of adulthood. And if you get that child to the age of adulthood, and it's still going in the ways of God, then more than likely, and all through its life, it will follow in the ways of God. Train up a child in the way that it should go. And when it is old, it will not depart from it. You say, but what about my child? My child is wayward. My child has gone away from the things of God. Well, I want to give you a wee word of encouragement. While it says in the Bible that if we train up a child the way it should go, when it is old, it will not depart from it. There is no verse of Scripture that says that if a child follows in the path of wickedness and in the path of sin, that when it is old, it will not depart from it. For there are many, thank God for this, who have answered the mother or the father's prayer and come older in life and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Thank God for those verses that have been sown in the mind. Thank God for those little choruses that no doubt they can recall to mind at times of need and times of distress. Those things are there as a bulwark, and those things are there as a prompting to them. God's word is in their heart, and God can use his word. His word will not return unto him void, but will accomplish the thing whereto he has sent it. Well, thank God that those that walk the paths of wickedness and the paths of sin, there's no verse that says that when they're old, they will not depart from it. For many have. Many have. Thank God for those that have come and sought the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior later on in life and been saved and washed in that precious blood. If you're not saved today, may you come and seek the Lord as your Savior. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's bow in a word of prayer.